Hi there, and thanks for joining us. On this week's podcast, I catch up with old friends who had to reinvent their pub post-pandemic, the Cork company looking after women's welfare and the planet, and the first official use of the C word. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, my next guests are two brothers who had to reinvent their family business during the pandemic. And when I say reinvent, I mean reinvent. Richard and Duncan Blair of Blair's Inn. How are you, lads?
Great. Thanks.
Great, John.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to talk to you. Now, we have to declare an interest at the very start that Richard and I used to play with Star Wars figures when we were about six. Isn't that right, Richard?
That's right, yeah.
And I'd say they were my Star Wars figures, Jonathan.
Yeah, but you weren't there because you were older and too cool to hang around with us, Duncan. Yeah, so we're just going to put that out there.
I still play with those Star Wars
figures.
Never
too old. To be fair, Johnny, you're never too cool for Star Wars figures.
You're dead right, actually. There's loads of them in this house as well that I still use on a regular basis. Look, Richard, tell us about reinventing Blair's Inn, because your dad would have set up the pub that became known as Blair's Inn and ran it a certain way, and that was very successful and ran for lots and lots of years, and then the global pandemic hit.
So we were Blair's Inn for 34 years, I suppose, and then come the 13th of March last year, we closed the doors and we immediately became Blair's Out. So we went from serving food inside to being a takeaway, and I suppose we decided that the food should be almost the same as what we were doing inside, with a base emphasis on local quality, fresh ingredients that could be delivered. But we had no idea what we were doing, did we, Duncan, really?
No, no. I remember our first customer, she came for corned beef and a dinner. They have a family of five or six of them, a farmer up the road. I've killed thanking her since, but she came for the first dinner of Blair's Out and she had to come back. I think she had to come back three times, is it?
Yeah,
because we didn't know what we were putting things into, and she was just and that's how it started. And it was like people, we literally did not know what we were doing. I remember actually the day Vracker closed the schools, my first phone call was to the bank manager just to have a chat, and then it was straight up to Musgraves to buy as much takeaway containers as I could, not knowing what was coming, but I knew something was coming. And
we still have a lot of those left.
but there was if you can imagine, good friends of ours, like the feedback loop was very important, because for instance, there's a good friend of ours from Bishopstown that comes out to us regularly for food, and he was sending me messages like, I really enjoyed the cottage pie, but by the way, my car is absolutely destroyed from the container that you put it into.
Yes, these are things that when you're running a gastropub, you shouldn't have to worry about. Yet here we are.
Yeah, and that was the other part of it. Then you were sitting there on the first day wondering, will this work? Because I suppose at Blair's Inn was always a very atmospheric. There's kind of, I don't know.
When Blair's Inn, you place the food out, and within, you know, we always tell the staff within a minute, you check back on how they're getting on, all the food is there, yeah. And you check back, and after, at the end of the meal, how did you enjoy your meal? Just fabulous. Actually, this wasn't right. Whatever, you know, we want to find out. But we're I suppose the vacuum of no feedback was kind of a bit of a worry.
It was, and there's also the thing as well. And people would often say to you about the pub, there's kind of magic in the walls. It's just a lovely feel to the place, and it's something I lived abroad in Richard too for many years. And you come back home and you'd feel it. You know, it's like an extension of our house, and you wonder then, is the food. To see the food stand up by itself was just very encouraging for us, you know.
And that's the real challenge for you, because you had to shoot in the dark a little bit, because you had to redesign the menu, you had to get stuff that went into little pots and send it out. But the thing is, lads, it took off, and you went from maybe giving the odd bit of boiled corned beef down the road to people travelling from miles around to sample the fare.
Yeah, and I suppose even when I suppose there was the 2 kilometre limit, people stretched it a little bit. We had a fella coming down every week from Fountainstown.
That's just outside the 2K,
just outside,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they were allowed to travel for food. I think it was
they were allowed to.
I think
that.
People were just worried about stretching it too much, but we still let people come from all over. And
Well, one of the best experiences I had was going over there, and Richard, you were able to give me a takeaway pint. And at that stage, I hadn't had a pint, even if it was in a plastic glass. I hadn't had one for about 6 months. It was manna from heaven.
Well, that was an amazing thing, like that, especially the pints of Guinness. And but we had that we had to go and collect the kegs, you know. But like, we were able to keep going with, I suppose, to touch on another thing that improved during the pandemic was our relationship with our suppliers. Particularly local ones, you know, so the likes of Toomey's and McCroom, and more importantly, speaking of takeaway pints, Nine White Deer Brewery in Ballyvourney, yeah. And with, you know, Gordon and Sinead down there, like, they kept brewing all the way through. So I'm not too sure if you got a stag stout that time or Guinness, but it was the takeaway pints was a revelation, like, God almighty. As like, we didn't have fellas, you know, queuing outside the bar within 100 meters like they did inside in the cities and towns, but they were taking them home, like, you know, as like,
yeah, but you'd worked out that you could put cling film over the pint, then put an elastic band, and it wouldn't spill.
Yeah, a friend of ours who owns a cafe gave us all those things.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll give it to Johnny Mac inside Ballincollig from National Coffee. Yeah. He also picked up the Guinness for me as well because he's a van. Yeah. You know, it's very important.
you mentioned something there that's very important, which is local. And when we talk about what Blair's Inn is now like, that local theme has been maintained, hasn't it? Because you've restructured in what you've done, and in many ways done things that you'd never have done prior to this.
Absolutely, that's very true.
Yeah, we now do pizzas,
and I remember, and that's another thing that we were kind of that Richard kind of and a friend of ours were on about for ages, and I was going, this is never going to work, and they kind of, in fairness to them, they persevered with me, and we kind of did it. And it's kind of shown me personally, and I think we've learned that there's nothing out of the question, actually.
And what's on the pizzas?
So pizzas, so we've won with pork belly, our new one with pork belly, Jack McCarty's black pudding.
The pork belly's from McCroom.
Yeah. And
black pudding's from Kantark.
Yeah, exactly. We call it the Peppa Pizza.
Peppa Pizza.
For any bottles out there. Yeah.
That's our way of giving back to the dads out there.
Yeah,
you know?
No more silly daddy. Yeah. Finally got her. So... So there's that, and you know, we've a meat feast, you know, we've
Gubeen Chorizo from West Cork, Jack McCarthy's smoked pancetta, Gubeen salami on that one as well. Yeah, there's a local theme to everything, really.
There's a lot to be done with, actually. You can put lots of local stuff on a pizza, you know, and it's the popularity of it, because it ties in well with the takeaways. The reason being for it, the background is that because we were opening up for outdoor dining only. In the summertime for us is traditionally a very busy time for tourists, no tourists. So we had to really attract the local families and people that were kind of staycationers, all that. And it worked. It worked a treat.
Yeah, and it was a great feel for the place. It was magic. It was honestly, you could see it was like being away almost.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And when the sun is shining, but how you're facing into another winter now, is the outdoor thing going to keep going?
Yeah, absolutely. We have it well covered and heated. The inside. Now Sunday was a good test for us. It was lashing rain out there. We got the pizza oven up and running. We have a kind of cover for that as well. And we still had some people outside having a few drinks and a bite to eat. Mostly inside. So that was actually. But the atmosphere again was lovely. We had the fires going, you know, and it was lovely and cozy. But still well distant. Again, we plenty of space. We're lucky, you know, that we can kind of give people, you know, either a meter or 2 meters, whatever they want, inside as well as outside. But I think the outside is still going. You know, on a clear night, you know, we've fires going, we've all sorts. It's a bit like Winterfell, you know. It's like if you can find some piece of an animal to throw over your shoulders, away you go. You
well, if you could find the bit of the pig that was left over from poor old Daddy Pig, he could use that for heat. And lads, what does your dad make of all of this? The man who spent 30 years setting up this wonderful gastro pub, and now you're serving pizzas out the back.
Yeah, well,
it's funny. He's, I think he's very encouraged by the support we're getting. I suppose, Jonathan, what we're doing is we're straddling kind of two sides of it, really, because we're after attracting families we're doing our takeaways, we're doing pizza with wings, burgers, but we're also doing things like I don't know, lots. I'm the chef myself, so I'm very into slow cook things like pork belly, feather blades. They're things that you can kind of make special, but in a kind of I suppose what we're still trying to surprise people with the food. And we're still, it's all based on local, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
We're not going all into fast food. If you
know what I
mean.
But back with Dad, though, like, as in, like, he's very encouraged by how well we're doing. He wasn't behind everything that we did. As anybody that knew him as well, like, would have, like, you know, when people say to me, look at all the families around and the children in the garden, your dad would have had a heart attack with any children near the river or anything like that, you know. But he's mellowed himself as well, like, so he's delighted. He thinks it's great. You know, he really loves the outside area. You know, as now, he's always got a bit of advice, inverted commas, to give us, but, like, it's always taken on board, you know, as like.
And can I just ask you that? Because I'm presuming within the last year and a half, 19, 20 months, there must have been times where you sat down and says, I don't know if we can keep going with this. I don't know if I can see myself still in business in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years time. Have you now got a business model that you're happy is going to keep Blair's Inn going for another 30 years?
Well, I suppose what we're doing is we're kind of riding the crest of a wave at the moment, and it will settle eventually. But it's, I suppose, the fact that we're dynamic, we're a small company, we're able to adjust to it. So I think we've shown resilience. And
yeah, well, I suppose the thing is, we're quite positive people, you know, and we have a bit of positivity, you know, I suppose, with a pinch of kind of naivety, which helps, you know. As like, so we never thought that it wouldn't work, we didn't even think about it, we just did it, you know, and that's what we do, you know.
We don't know how to stop either. I remember talking, I remember talking to Tim Mulcahy from Chicken Inn back in April 2020, and it was one of those times you're wondering, can we keep going? It was because it was down to myself and Richard at the start, just Richard on wash up emails and me on cooking. We just did the two of us for about 12 weeks, was it? Just trying to be as safe as possible because no one knew what they were dealing with. And then we brought her back. But I remember Tim saying to me, just don't stop because they'll forget you soon enough. And that was great advice.
Yeah, keep your connection with your customers.
And I suppose after being on our own for those 12 weeks, we've learned we can't do anything actually without our staff. And they have been, I suppose, they've been our savior, really. They've been amazing. Mary Doyle, who's with us there 30 odd years, I suppose she wouldn't mind me saying she's a bit older. And I would have been worried about her, I suppose, you know, because of, you know, the risks involved and all this. But no, she's taken this as like a challenge, and she's been amazing. She's pulled us through it. We've got a new chef there for the last year and a half. I suppose we call Ita for the last year and a half, and she's been fantastic as well. It's kind of like we started again, and we've kind of come back stronger, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, look, all I can say is you recently won the Happy Place Award from the Georgina Campbell Guide. And I think there's a reason why you did, because it's the way that you guys run the business and you've responded to the challenges that are there. Richard, I'll bring the Star Wars figures over at the weekend and we can have a proper session like we used to have years ago. And as we always do, we'll exclude Duncan as we did when we were six.
Yeah. Good job. I'll bring the Guinness.
Duncan and Richard Blair of Blair's Inn in Claroe. Gentlemen, absolute pleasure and the best of luck to you and all the family.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Red Business, all that's best about business in Cork.
Now it's the start of October, and while you may only be starting to think about Halloween, my next guest is actually suggesting the time has come to start shopping for Christmas. Teresa Venables, co-founder of shopinireland.ie. How are you?
I'm good, Jonathan. Thanks.
It's the first mention of the C word so far this year, but we won't blame you for it specifically. Tell us a little bit about shopinireland.ie first of all.
Sure. So I guess it's a website that works, you know, the same as Amazon and other websites that we're familiar with, where there's tens of thousands of products on there. But the unique point about our website is that you're buying from a small business that's based in Ireland when you're buying. So we've got about 1,000 different businesses selling through there, and we've got nearly 50,000 products on there. Really something for everyone. But when you're buying, you're dealing directly with, not us, we don't do the distribution, you're buying directly from the small business, and that can be based anywhere in Ireland.
Okay, now it's a very crowded marketplace, because you've mentioned other brands there, the Amazons of this world. What's different about you? What's your USP?
Well, I guess we're giving a kind of a leg up to the small businesses around Ireland. And I just going back to the first lockdown in March last year, I remember, you know, I was at home like everybody else, and just started gardening, you know. And I wanted to buy something for the garden, and I have a local garden center, and I couldn't go there because they were locked, you know, down. So I ended up shopping online and ordering it online. And even though the website said .ie, I then get notification that it was coming from Germany or somewhere. And it took weeks and weeks. And I just thought, what a shame that here I am buying something from Germany when I could have just walked down the road and bought it if the shop had been open, you know?
Yeah, and we've spoken to a lot of people on the podcast during lockdown and now post-lockdown that really benefited from that, the sense of goodwill that we had to support your own where it could possibly be done. The challenge is to keep that momentum going. And how easy has that been?
It's actually been easier than I thought, because there's a couple of other, you know, things that have come in this year that it really, it's kind of been the perfect storm of making it really difficult to shop online overseas. And one of those things, of course, is Brexit. And with the UK leaving the EU, most of our online shopping in Ireland is buying from the UK. But now that's outside the EU, so you're subject to customs and VAT duties and all that kind of stuff at the border. And then they also have an issue with just transport in general. You know, we see on the news about no fuel in the UK and all the rest of it. So there is massive delays as well. And that's why I guess the news is out there that if you do need to order something, obviously shopinireland.ie is your first port of call. But if you need to order something that we don't sell, say the big electronics items and things that might be coming in from overseas, you do really need to start thinking about it early this year. Otherwise, there's going to be some very disappointed kids on Christmas morning.
Yes, because Santa can do his best, but there's only so much the man can do. When you are talking about Christmas, what kind of shopping are you talking about?
Well, I mean, on our site, we do everything. But what we do a lot of is personalized products. So because our items are, a lot of them are handmade or locally produced, they're personalized with your name or your details, or there's getting in your orders early, because last year our sellers just were overwhelmed by demand, and getting orders in early for those kind of really, you know, kind of heartfelt gifts is a really good idea. And then obviously, again, if you do have to order big items from overseas, you really do need to think about it straight away. And I'm talking about, you know, the games consoles or whatever that is in short supply, because the shipping delays are absolutely brutal at the moment. And Unpost is really warning against that. There's not much they can do, you know.
Yeah, so in other words, what you have to do is you have to get in early and get in often. And that's potentially good news for Irish suppliers, because that means that they're able to plan with a bit of certainty. If they get their orders in, they could be guaranteed a good end of the year.
Of course. And you can order now and set your delivery for, you know, Christmas week if you want. It's just getting, just being that little bit organised, just to help those businesses spread out the load as well. Last year, we had people who advertised through our platform, and within, you know, a week, they had sold out of their entire Christmas stock. And that was like early October, mid October. So, you know, we kind of want to avoid those big crashes happening this year, and just get a bit organized, like I said. And it gives you more options as well. There'll be more availability for those kind of personalized items and things as well if you order early.
Well, there's loads of Christmas stuff up on the website anyway. You're not messing. There's a foodie hamper, which I'm intrigued by. That's up at the very start. I always love talking about food. It's one of my favourite things. So what's in the foodie hamper?
I'm a total foodie myself, Jonathan. So that's why I put together the foodie hamper first. So basically, we had a lot of feedback last year from our customers who saw all the different food items being produced and being sold through our site, but either, you know, couldn't choose which to pick, or the shipping can be expensive. So they can be paying like €4 or something for one jar of, you know, sauce or something. So what we decided to do this year was just take some of those products and put them together in a nice hamper. And that way, every product in there has been made, handmade by a very small business all around Ireland. And there's about, I think, 8 or 9 counties involved there. And it gives you, you know, a really nice gift to get. But also, if you're doing hampers for your business that you work in and it's your job to, you know, make the hampers this year or whatever, or to organize them, it's just a nice, you know, there's a backstory for every single product in that hamper. And you'll get that will be included in the hamper with, you know, the little story of who you're buying from, because this money goes direct into the hands of those people. And it's just a kind of a feel good factor, as well as, of course, the delicious products, because they really are delicious. I've sampled them all.
It really does. And I'm just browsing the website while I'm talking to you. It's got loads of quirky, clever little things. One of the things that came up here was a Hurley holder. And anyone who's got Hurleys in the house, when you're not falling over them, you'd like them to be hung up on the wall. And that's something there.
It's a fantastic product. Actually, that man's from Douglas in Cork, and his business is booming thanks to Shop in Ireland. So
yeah, I'd imagine he probably kept falling over Hurleys like I do in my house as well. And then you've got things like a Hurley cake topper, where you can put your child's name on top of a cake in a Hurley. So if you have a Hurley fanatic, and they're just two of the products I found by clicking onto the website. It really is great. Christmas or any time of the year, shopinireland.ie is the website. And look, it's been fabulous to hear all about it, Teresa Venables. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a million, Jonathan.
The only show in town for Cork business, Red Business.
Now, my next business is an eco-friendly period product subscription service that's based in Cork. It was set up in April of this year, with its founders saying they want to create a plastic-free sustainable solution for women. The company is called Riley, and one of its co-founders is Áine Kilkenny, who's with me now. Hi, Áine.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about the product. What's different?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So we have a range of tampons and pads available to order through our website, and which is shipped directly to our customers' doors. But as you say, these products are different. They're exactly what women are used to using. However, the makeup of Riley products is a key differentiator. So our products are made with 100% certified organic cotton and have no toxins or chemicals, and are completely vegan friendly also, which means they're better for women's bodies and also better for the planet.
Okay, so it's the kind of thing that people would like to do, get rid of the plastic, use stuff that's biodegradable. But does it come at a cost, and is that cost excessive in the minds of many consumers?
So our monthly boxes start on our website at €6.90 for a monthly box. And we ship throughout Ireland. We also have partnered with a charity in Kenya called Development Pamoja. And €1 for every box sold is also given to that charity as well, as we want to be able to support period poverty and what we're doing. So €1 from every box is also sold to that. But it's actually, when compared with supermarket products, there isn't too much of a price comparison.
Yeah, obviously my background is fairly limited in this, just limited to speaking to women that I know. But the price thing was a big thing, wasn't it? That, you know, the argument being if men had periods every month, everything would be an awful lot cheaper. But you're providing a product that, you know, is sustainable for the environment. Is that message resonating with the consumer base?
Yeah, I think so, Jonathan. And don't worry, I don't expect it. You're not our target market, so I don't expect you to know too much about it. But I do think we have been blown away by the support we have gotten since we've launched on the 27th of April this year. We've hit over 1,000 sales, and we're absolutely delighted with seeing the amount of women who have come out to say they want to use more eco-friendly period products. I think that a lot of women want period products that are eco-friendly, but that will suit their lifestyle. So instead of changing to a moon cup or reusable underwear, they want products that they're used to using for their whole lives, but have the eco-friendly element. So we've been blown away by the amount of people who have been making the switch from more mainstream brands to an eco-friendly alternative.
The monthly thing is significant here, because that's how a lot of US marketing companies work. And again, going to something that I know from listening to adverts, shaving kits. You sign up for a subscription service that gives you a shaving kit once a month. It arrives in the post. You don't have to worry about remembering it at the shop. It just turns up on the doorstep. It's a tried and trusted model, but funnily enough, not one that has targeted women in the same way that men are targeted.
I know. It's so interesting. And I think that like the US are a lot further along with their subscription model. They have everything on subscription. And I think that we're kind of coming around to that idea. And especially, I think COVID had a big impact on that as well, with everything being delivered to our door, that people are taking, are getting more involved with the subscription model. But on that, the idea for Riley really came about because of our need for convenience. For myself and my two co-founders, we found ourselves without period products, and we were looking, you know, we wanted to, we had nothing on hand, no period products on hand. And then we said, you know, how is this not a subscription service? We're busy working women. How do we still have to think about this? This is something that happens to us every single month without fail. How do we not have this coming to our door?
The idea of pushing for plastic-free sustainable solutions, that's an easy thing to include here. But what happens if another alternative model sets up that still uses the traditional products that are out there, provides the subscription service and undercuts you a bit? Is the sustainable thing enough of a draw, do you think, to keep Riley in the position that it's in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the eco-friendly aspect of our company is incredibly important to us. It's one of our core values. So we will obviously be continuing to push for the eco-friendly aspect. I think when you look at the statistics of what women are using, a woman uses 11,000 non-recyclable tampons in her lifetime, which equals to 5,500 plastic bags, which really is shocking. So I think that as much as another company can come and the mainstream companies can come and do a subscription service, the eco-friendly element is incredibly important. And that's what we love to see women swapping over to this and reducing their impact on the environment as well.
You obviously have half of the global population are women.
Yeah.
Not all of them would be availing of these products at the same time,
yeah.
But it's a huge marketplace. Where do you see it leveling off for you? I mean, you're obviously doing well in the Irish market, but have you global ambition with this?
Oh, absolutely, Jonathan, we do. We are, as we said, we only started on the 27th of April, and we've already had orders from Ireland, the UK, and throughout Europe. We are going to start pushing marketing throughout Europe at the end of this year and start of next year as well. And then we're looking at going global after that, so going into the States. Our products have all of the necessary health and safety certifications that they need, but also in the United States, a tampon is seen as a medical device and our products are already FDA approved, which is great. So we're looking forward to global domination.
Okay, well, we wish you the best of luck of that, starting out of Cork and indeed out of Republic of Works, where we hang around ourselves,
yeah,
sometimes,
absolutely.
As it has been known. Riley is the name of the business. We are Riley, RILEY.com is the website address if you want to find out more. But for now, Áine Kilkenny, co-founder of Riley, thanks for joining us on Red Business.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
My thanks as always to all of my guests. Don't forget you can download every episode of the podcast from redextra.ie. Kieran McDonough was the producer, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.